Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a syndicated radio transmission today that you are not going to want to miss. Every day is very important, obviously, as the world gets crazier by the minute, as the New World Order comes into full view, tyrannical, eugenics, death cult-based system of psychopathic control freaks setting up a global technocracy to carry out their dreams of godhood. But today is going to be power-packed. I had one of the most powerful interviews I've ever done with Ron Paul. And I've only interviewed him once or twice taped before, but he's so busy, he kept having to reschedule. And I said, look, I'll just come in anytime for a taped interview. And so I interviewed him right before we went on air today because he had to catch an airplane. So I interviewed Ron Paul right before the show, and we're going to have that video and audio, video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, audio for the syndicated radio audience, coming up at the bottom of the hour, 18 minutes. Now, that said, I really learned about human psychology on the drive in to work this morning. They're doing construction for a mile and then not construction for a mile, and they've got the two-lane road blocked down to one lane. And it took me an hour to get here. Normally it takes me about 30 minutes because of fog and rain. I was coming in early, barely made it. I got here 2 minutes before we were set to interview Ron Paul. Put my jacket on, put the earpiece in, walked in. They dialed him, boom, Ron Paul's right on to the interview. And driving here, I mean, I've observed this before, but you learn so much about human psychology when people are in cars because studies show they feel more secure, more empowered. Same thing with emails. People send things in emails that they would never say in person or even in a written letter. It's just they it becomes so second nature, they just do it. And I noticed that I was driving in the fast lane and not in the slow lane in the mile stretches where the road was two lanes. And we get up to about 25, 30 miles an hour. And then when you got up to the next lane that was closed, I guess for expansion, cars would all just get over in the slow lane, go to the head of the line, and then everybody who was in the fast lane would politely sit there and wait while they all got in front. I'm not going to say I went ahead and just drove down the middle lane where they're out there expanding it to get here to Dr. Ron Paul. I'm not going to say I drove a little fast once I got up on the main highway or anything. I mean, I've got a car that goes 200 miles an hour. I mean, it's not like I'm driving fast. I got here, though. Oh, it was like that, son, put your foot down on the pedal. Never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out because we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. No, I'm just joking. Hey, I don't speed or drive fast anymore unless it's for a major Republican Party contender who's in second place nationwide right now to do that interview. One of the biggest interviews we ever did with Ron Paul, and I drove like a bat out of hell once I got around that traffic. I'm just okay, side issue. Hey, I can't help but tell the complete truth about everything. I was honest on radio yesterday. I said, I don't want to go down and try to confront the attorney general when he gives a speech at UT in the main conference hall at the LBJ Center. And then I went ahead and said to the crew, I'm going to go. I got to go. It's not that I'm even afraid of the guy. I'm disgusted. It's like, I hate looking at him. I mean, I know he was involved in Oklahoma City. I know he shipped the guns into Mexico, killed a bunch of people. I know he's evil, and it's upsetting. But actually, I should go down there because every time I'm around that evil, it just absolutely, I get woken up to an even higher level in my disgust for them. We're going to leave it up in the air, though, what's going to happen with Holder today. Anyways, that'll get them running around in circles. I'm not going down there, government. Oh, you're listening to all the phone lines. Anyways, you know that. All right. Incredible news on the other side. The Ron Paul interview coming up. Just wait. Huge transmission coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Here we are, my friends, Tuesday, the 13th day of December, 2011. 2011, very long in the tooth. The vaunted, fabled 2012 is about to be here. And right on time, as we reported yesterday, now Reuters and others are running around in circles covering it. The Iranian government is saying they're about to do a drill to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. And since yesterday's announcement, Iran's army has declined to comment on government's Hormuz exercise remarks. A member of Iranian Parliament's National Security Committee said on Monday that the military was set to practice its ability to close the Gulf to shipping at the narrow Strait of Hormuz, the most important oil transit channel in the world. 40% of it goes through it daily. But there was no official confirmation. The legislature, Perez Sarvari, told the student news agency, soon we will hold a military maneuver on how to close the Strait of Hormuz. If the world wants to make the region insecure, we will make the world insecure. Now, let's stop right there. Every security analyst, not even worth their salt, knows. It's like every economist knows unemployment's been above 22% for about 3 years, not 9% like Obama says. And he's going to have it down to 8% by Christmas. It's fairy tales. Anyone who knows anything about geopolitical systems knows the first thing the Iranians are going to do is blow up some of their own derelict ships they've got all tied up along those cliffs there and sink them and mine that, and nothing is going through there. And anybody does, they've got massive troops, hidden missiles, special forces there. They're going to be able to attack the ships. It's going to be a real war, something the globalist army never really faces. They're normally just murdering and killing and stomping on dirt farmers to take control of their opium supplies. Now, continuing. Regardless of what you think of Iran, the facts are, for 5 years, it's been admitted that five different groups, what, in 2007 he made the announcement, so yeah, just about 5 years, Bush put out a press release saying five groups, four of them known al-Qaeda, real al-Qaeda, same folks they shipped into Libya and now into Syria, very same names, same groups, same commanders, on record who say they're al-Qaeda and fly the flags, real al-Qaeda that's killed U.S. troops. They use them against Iran. See, this is real war, but the al-Qaeda they hire is simulated. It's real U.S. troops dying, real Iranians dying. People are like, but why? They've got to have an enemy attacking our troops if we're going to be there. There's got to be a fight. See, the British today, if Gandhi would have tried to let him hit him in the head with billy clubs over in India and gone along with all that and let people see it and witness that the British were the ones out of control, less than 100,000 of them controlling 400 million Indians at the time. Now it's over a billion. 100,000 people controlling 400 plus million. Nowadays, they would just have some of their own people dressed up like Hindus shoot some British troops, and the British troops would just mow everybody down, and the Brits would get behind it because, well, somebody shot our troops. How do you deal with people that don't fight you? In the old days, you just had very corrupt imperial troops who loved raping and killing and slaughtering. They called it booty. They got to rape, got to kill, got to steal whatever they got, and it was a culture of death and destruction, and so you could do that. So people didn't have a choice. They had to fight back. But in the Christian Western cultures, in the last few hundred years especially, it's been seen as immoral. And the morals got raised higher and higher in England. And the morals got raised higher and higher in Europe and the United States to where, hey, it's wrong to have slaves. It's wrong to have white indentured servants. It's wrong. And they were the minority at first, but they had the moral high ground. So then new ideas of speaking to the heart and soul of enemy soldiers and to imperial enforcers and minions of what you're doing is wrong to me. I'm a human being. Have some empathy. This is my country. It's wrong what you're doing. Well, today the British would just send in terrorists, and they do this. They have manuals on it, the Republic, that have been declassified from the 60s and 70s. They would stage terror attacks against themselves, against their own troops, to get the troops hopping mad where they don't care and they'll kill any Indian they are told to. So Al-Qaeda is a simulated army. They were used against the Russians, the Serbs. They're used against America to take our liberties. They're used against Muammar Gaddafi. And it's in the news today, mainstream news, the videos and photos of the Arab Al-Qaeda lining blacks up and shooting them and hacking them up with machetes, including women and children. And the media is like, well, it's the price to get rid of Gaddafi, flying the Al-Qaeda flag and now being shipped into Syria. U.S. Special Forces massing along. People say Special Forces don't mass. Oh, really? When they're training and about to command guerrilla forces that go in for street fighting? Yes, they do. That's confirmed to be going on in Jordan. I mean, the whole world is moving right now towards regional and multi-regional war with different proxy armies fighting. China, Russia, U.S., Europe, all involved. A resource war. But the larger enemy is the people of Europe, England, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. The bankers have seized us, and they know that if they've got wars going on, we'll tend to circle the wagons and do what they say and let them have our pension funds and let them set up checkpoints and martial law. If they do that, if they have a war going. So right as the world government's announced, right as the international treaties are signed, right as the new VAT taxes are going in, right as the New World Order is announced, they want something that could turn into a program as big as World War II, in Rand Corporation's own words. So I digress. I got a lot of other news I've got to hit here, but Ron Paul's coming up here, and the most incredible interview I've ever done with him. We just taped it before the show. But I began 14 minutes ago. The point I'm trying to get at here with you today is this. Iran has four Al-Qaeda groups attacking them. They've got military bases blown up with giant craters on the ground. Obviously, those drones aren't just surveilling. There's obviously B-2 bombers dropping 2,000-pound bombs on them or bigger. They've got missile bases getting blown up, police headquarter training centers blown up, general staff military headquarters blown up. All in the last year, it's accelerating. And Iran knows the plan is to get them to attack. So what Iran is doing is saying, okay, you're going to do that. We've got our proxy armies ready to attack Israel on all sides, not with missiles from Iran, but through Hezbollah in Lebanon, through other systems. All of this is happening. That's why Netanyahu had to fire the former head of the Mossad who told him don't do it. Because they understand what this is going to turn into. And it's going to be a bloodbath and a disaster. But the mega banks, it's going to be good. When the oil gets shut off to Europe, it's going to implode even faster. The globalists want to implode Europe so that they'll accept the banking dictatorship, in their own words, before they fully implode us and Asia. Europe's next on the chopping block. They've already destroyed Latin America. They've already destroyed much of the poor areas of Asia. They've annihilated Africa. Now they're moving into Western Europe. They've already annihilated Eastern Europe. Now they're moving into this area. Russia's run by corrupt thugs, but they have breeding programs. They don't want their population to go away. They're not eugenicist. And Russia is not under the New World Order's control. That's why it's the enemy. And I've done a deep analysis of it. That's the case. It's its own little crime syndicate, and Putin and others, the old hardline KGB people, threw out the Rothschild bankers who had taken control of the oligarchs and now have control of it. China is in deep with the New World Order, for my research, planning a double cross against Russia. And Russia discovered that in the 60s when they came to the U.S. government with a plan for Russia and the U.S. to jointly nuke China. And the United States said no, and it turned out had secret envoys the whole time. That's now been declassified. Turned their back on 49 on Chiang Kai-shek. You always heard the stories about guns that didn't have bolts and ammo that didn't have powder in them. It's now been released that our government put Mao Zedong in. That guy killed the most people in history. Just like they came out 5 years ago with the KGB files and the headline of the New York Times, McCarthy was right. It was the U.S. military at the top. It was the bankers. They funded Hitler. They funded Lenin. They funded all of it. The Russians double-crossed the bankers, got their country back, and is now basically a military state with Putin as a front guy. And they've got nuclear weapons, and they will use them. It was a ruse. The Cold War was a ruse and was staged. He was called Uncle Joe Stalin during World War II. when our government knew he'd killed 20 million people before World War II even started. But Russia is not Papa Rothschild's anymore. And boy, see, you can see how things turn around on them. America has been fully captured by this. And so here's Iran under military attack, under all of this, putting up with it. And they're saying, now Obama says, you better give our drone back or we may do something. Under the rules of war, common sense, you don't give back a drone you shoot down that's illegally over your country. Imagine if Iran had a drone over here and it got shot down and Iran said, give it back. So they're now trying, they finagled that fake thing that the used car salesman was going to stage stuff. By the way, I didn't plug this. I tend to not hype things. Ron Paul is going to talk about false flags in the interview coming up. Oh, yes, you heard me. And Ron Paul is going to talk about martial law basically being legalized in America. I have a tendency, because I'm so overwhelmed with bombshell info, to not give you the full magnitude. This Ron Paul interview coming up in about 14 minutes. I should have been saying from the very start of the show, call everyone you know right now. Email everybody you know right now. Go to Twitter, go to Facebook. Ron Paul to talk about false flags. Ron, you know, in fact, I may just hold this Ron Paul interview to the third hour. I may actually think like a news person today, because I want my information to get out to everybody. I want this information to have the biggest effect. I'm making the decision. We're not airing Ron Paul until 1:30 today. Because this interview is so powerful. I'm not going to air it at 11:30. I want to give our own office time to get the Twitter out, the Facebook out, to get a blurb out on the website. Ron Paul to talk about Fast and Furious as a false flag. How Holder is a criminal. Oh, yeah, he went all the way. And more. He talked about martial law in America. We'll be back. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to air the Ron Paul interview in the last 30 minutes today, because I know all of you out there want it to have the biggest effect. We bring these giant guests on and they never even really promo that they're coming on, because I don't like to really plug something until the fish is in the boat. It's kind of like dating girls in high school and college. I don't kiss and tell. And I got a little popular that way. I'll just say, leave it like that. I always under-promise, over-deliver in the fight against tyranny. And this Ron Paul interview, let me just give you an idea what's coming up in it. And I didn't even prompt him for this. He was very friendly, jovial. He's normally pretty robotic because he's so focused when we first talked before we taped it. He seemed very upbeat because he can see the major inroads we're making in liberty. I brought up Eric Holder and how he's getting away with Fast and Furious. He said, yes, it's clearly criminal and over the top. And it's a false flag. I said, is it a false flag in the Second Amendment? He goes, yeah, it's a false flag. So that's important. Because the local Republicans won't even go after him today at a protest on the real issues. It's all, he doesn't play patty cake right or whatever. So all of that is coming up. Ron Paul said the NDAA puts America under martial law, as his chief campaign advisor on policy, also constitutional lawyer, Bruce Fein, has broken down. That's what it does. I brought up the fact that Obama is the real political enemy and that he should run against Obama, and point out that Newt Gingrich and others are basically clones of Obama with just different political camouflage. He said, you're absolutely right. We should do more of that. We talk strategy on air. It's an incredible interview. And I think it's better that I didn't have 30 minutes like I usually do, because he's so busy. I had like 15. We went about 16 or 17 because I was just firing questions. Bam, 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 bam. And he was firing back. And it was amazing. So that interview is coming up at the bottom of the third hour today. So you can put that on your own Twitter, your own Facebook. I'm going to get Watson and others on the horn here. I just went back and told Kurt. I'm going to get him to do an article on the Fast and Furious issue with Ron Paul talking about it. And I'm going to get him to, the Watson brothers to write about the martial law. The NDAA puts America under martial law. And And we've got to get these out to people. And it's another big issue where he said, yes, I should run against Obama, because the polls show, the ones they've done, that he beats Obama handily, better than all the other Republicans. And that they should focus more on pointing that out to people. I mean, Newt Gingrich is a ringer, folks, as the day is long. Mitt Romney is as well. Now, here's two articles that are up at drudgereport.com right now. Both of these, a double header, a double barrel blast of massive awakening via drudgereport.com. From Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson and his political scientist brother, Steve Watson. Unannounced Verizon emergency alert causes panic in New Jersey. Scared citizens flood 9/11 boards, 911 boards, with anxious calls. It was just an accident from Homeland Security, but no mention in the mainstream media that it was the government doing it. Continues, Russian protesters encountered surveillance UAV. Thank goodness this sort of thing doesn't happen in the land of the free. Oh, wait, it does. We're going to be breaking that down as well. Now, one thing I ran out of time with Ron Paul to get into is Google chairman says online privacy bill would criminalize the internet. That's actually what it does. It just says there's no freedom, no nothing, no due process. They can just shut you down, ban you from the internet. It's an internet ID system. You got to log in to go online anywhere. Total surveillance. Overkill on internet privacy. Washington Post says it is an internet kill switch, but a selective one. Ah, who's been saying that for years? Who's been saying this for 5 years? I'm not bragging. I want to just show you. I live this stuff. I eat, drink, and sleep it. I dream it. I know what they're doing. I'm inside their mind. You can do it, too. If you get into reality and study the enemy like any good general, you will become them. In your mind, you will look through their eyes. How many times, how many article headlines for 5 years have said this? Internet privacy bill, a free speech kill switch. Here it is, Weekly Standard. MPAA head Chris Dodd on online censorship bill. China's the model. They go on to break down that it is the Chinese model. You know why it's the Chinese model? Yahoo, Microsoft, and others, and now Google capitulated, all built for China their internet censorship system. Of course it's the Chinese model. We wrote an article 7-8 years ago titled Facebook, the Trojan Horse for Internet Censorship. And we explained not this model, but future ones where everything is big, giant conglomerate sites like Facebook, Twitter, Google. And then you simply get delisted off of those. Congress says they're going to do that. I've studied the enemy operation. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Gentlemen, we are back live, and the Ron Paul interview I did was so powerful. You know, normally I don't get up here and say, oh my gosh, it's the best one ever, or oh my gosh, we're going to wait till the end of the show to air this. I mean, this is a powerful interview. It's got me on the edge of my seat right now, running around like a Tasmanian devil with its head cut off. That's pretty wild, isn't it? During the breaks here, but we're getting the MP3 of it done, of the video and audio interview. I'm getting it to my writers right now. I was just going to air it for the writers and everybody to hear it the first time, but then they always miss notes and stuff and then have to wait to get an article out. So that's another reason I've decided to air it in the last 30 minutes of the show today, the interview we did just about an hour and a half ago, because it is so powerful, as I just said. That way, my writers can have their articles ready. We can air the interview. Then the articles go live with the MP3 of the audio. And so, I mean, believe me, this has got the strategy to win in Iowa. Ron Paul says we can win. It's true. He talks about the hoax of the media imploding, saying he can't win. He talks about dirty tricks boomeranging on them. He talks about Iran. He talks about all of it. But he says that the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, establishes martial law in America. We know that does. But the fact that he's talking about it, that puts a lot of light on it. And he said it should be the number one story in America right now. He's right. Man, talking to Ron Paul is like talking to a 76-year-old Alex Jones. It's like when Bruce Fein was on. It's like talking to myself or something. He said when it's him and Ron Paul, it's like a Vulcan mind meld. They're just like on the same page. It's freedom. It's common sense. It's right there. Ron Paul is just a constitutionalist. He's an American. He's what the world used to love. And now this whore, New World Order, devilish, sold out, den of vipers, globalist, Decepticon media sits there and says, he's the weirdo. He's the bad guy. Well, you hadn't read Thomas Jefferson. You hadn't read George Washington. You don't know Thomas Paine or Patrick Henry. You don't know what it is to be an American. I'm sick of people attacking real Americans. I'm tired of the Homeland Security and state police training manuals that read like a comic book. If you'd have given somebody 30 years ago these training manuals, they would have laughed at you. 5 years ago, people couldn't believe them. Where the founding fathers are bad and gun owners are bad and private property and due process and sovereignty is bad. All the things that are good, they say are bad. All the things that are common sense, they say are bad. And they just try to sell it with this trendy population that dresses and talks like whatever the media says. The mainstream media is an alien, plastic, oid, manufactured, counterfeit garbage. That's why it doesn't fill you up. It's why it doesn't satisfy the soul. It's why you're so unhappy. And people then burrow deeper into the system, thinking it's going to make them happy. Only the challenge of liberty, the animating contest of liberty, that's the only thing that's going to fulfill you. Only facing danger, that is the only thing that's going to fulfill you. Only helping the average person and being aware and focused and wise is going to fulfill you. No amount of liquor, no amount of sex, no amount of entertainment is going to fulfill you. Life is about struggle. And there's an old saying, pain is weakness leaving the body, but not just physical pain. Having people make fun of you, having people laugh at you, that may hurt some people, but over time you will learn to enjoy it. And not in a masochistic way. You will learn to enjoy it in a sad way, like it has to be done and too bad for these poor people that are attacking you. But the fact that they're attacking you means you're getting to them. So there's enjoyment in, you know, it's not enjoyable to lance a boil on your dog. It's kind of gross to stick the needle in and watch the pus pour out. I had an old dog I had to do that a few times for, and the vet I worked for, you know, it taught me how to do it. But there was still, at a certain level, a satisfied feeling after you'd done it, after you'd put alcohol on it and cleaned it. You didn't like it. You didn't like looking at it. You didn't like having to deal with it. But at a spiritual level, you were helping that animal. You were lancing the boil. It's the same thing doctors get when people that aren't used to it see chopped open bodies, little kids' faces blown off. They get freaked out. Doctors are focused, helping them, trying to save them. And so it actually becomes just a blur, and they can focus and do things that are horrible, but to the eyes and to the nose and to the psyche. But it's good in the final equation because you're helping someone. All right, I'm starting to preach here, and I've just got so much news I want to get to. Here's what I want to do. I want to open the phones up about all the things happening in the world, the Iranians threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz, which is a provocation. They're looking for the middle way. They're allowing the West to bomb them, blow stuff up, destabilize them, put sanctions on them to shut them down. China has said they'll come to their aid. China has said prepare for war with the United States. That's back in the news. Their president has said that, not just some general, because it's cutting off their oil, but that's a double game. They'll probably abandon them in the final equation. Iran thinks that it can just threaten to block the strait or do it if the covert bombings continue, and the West is just going to hype that up. The West may even attack them because they're not giving the spy plane back. If Iran fires back when the West bombs them in a major air assault, it will be called terrorism to fire back. Again, it's bad when other governments torture, good when ours does it. It's all part of this mentally ill, soft-brained craziness of all the good old boys. I mean, I see it in every movie I watch now that's an action film. I watched X-Men First Class on the treadmill. Mindless, join the military brainwashing, targeting young people, all sorts of programming in it. And in it, the good guys torture the woman to get the answers, and it's good that they torture her and they get the answers. And it's in every movie, torture gets results. No, it doesn't. It gets fake confessions. And if you've got a government torturing people, look out. The Nazis knew to hide it. Only in America would they come out and admit they're doing it. You get rid of those protections, it's all gone. Why do they want tyranny? People say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. Why do they want to come after me? They're bad. They want you to be their slave. Don't you get it? It's called slavery. It's called tyranny. The globalists at the top want to dominate everything because they like to be in control. I saw an article in Reuters earlier. In fact, let me just pull it up right here. Squeezed Britons avoid hotel and car trips. There's such massive taxes on cars, tracker chips, taxes, gas taxes, VAT, hotels, that they're just avoiding hotel and car trips. And they say because they're angry about all of it. No, it's because they're being bankrupted. And the media will act like, oh, how do we fix this? And they'll have some government program where they cut some little small tax to act like they want to incentivize it. You think the TSA is upset we lose $40 million a year in tourism? You think the TSA is upset that tourism shutting down in this country? They love it. It's called a post-industrial world. They want to get rid of all the middle-class wealth. They want to get rid of even the higher-level Fortune 500, to where there's only the Fortune 100. They're waging war against the free market and wealth because wealth makes you free and uppity. You know, I've got articles here, and I'm looking for the clip because I heard it on 590 radio this morning, the speech of the San Antonio bishop, and I've got the letter here, Archdiocese of San Antonio. All 33 Roman Catholic bishops released on Monday a strongly worded letter to immigrants saying illegal immigrants deserve to be Americans and calling for denunciation of the forces which oppress them. Now, this is sedition within the country. And I actually heard the speech of the San Antonio bishop saying that Catholics that didn't support open borders and total amnesty were bad Catholics. And they got some of that language in the letter. And saying legalize everyone. There's no such thing as an immigrant. That is, or a migrant. And that Jesus was a migrant. And that you've got to do, it's pure Ford Foundation liberation theology. Let me explain to folks how the real world works here. I've walked into gas stations here and stores, and I've had Hispanic people behind the counter say, Alex, I've always liked your show, but you're supporting what Arizona's doing. They're going to arrest all the Hispanics in America, and they hate us and all this stuff. And I look at them and I say, that may be the case with some black people or white people, but a very small percentage. I look at them and I say, do you understand that the people looting the banks, going after our guns, private property, do you understand that they are for open borders? Do you understand the UN is? You understand the UN murders people all over the world. You understand the UN is pushing with taxpayer money to inoculate every Hispanic child in Mexico, starting with girls. Do you know it's been linked to cancer and infertility? And they go, oh, and I go, yeah. The people patting you on the head and telling you that they care about you and that they want to take good care of you and that, oh my gosh, America's evil, let's have open borders. They're not telling you about the Gardasil shot, are they? You know about that? And they're like, yeah, I actually did hear about people dying from that. Yeah, that's right. Oh, but you're not going to hear LULAC or La Raza, which means the race. Let me go one further. Can I have an organization called the White Race? Why can you have an organization called the Race? Oh, I know, because you're downtrodden. Listen, I don't care what color you are. But let me ask you this next question. This is, and there'll be people backing up behind me. Let me ask you this next question, because you said that kind of accusatorily. Okay? Let me ask you another question here. You know the illegal aliens. Oh, I know you don't like that term, but that's what it's called in Mexico if I go down there. who has some of the most draconian immigration laws, and they start laughing. Well, that's true, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know about that. Good. Well, let's go one further. It's hypocritical, but let's go even further. Let's expand on that. You know how 90%+ of these illegals end up voting illegally. And once they become citizens, you know, because they think the Democratic Party's their friend. And by then it's like, hey, come on, buddy. I'm like, hold on. I'm sorry. Or go ahead and start paying here, but I'm going to talk to him. You know, by then, I'm usually being interrupted. I mean, I've probably done this 50 times with just on the streets, in malls, in Los Angeles, you name it. Let me go one even further for you. Okay, let me expand on this for you. How do 90%+ of them vote? Hardcore liberal Democratic. Total gun ban. Total private property ban. Now, I am 100% just on that issue have to be against the giant Latin American surge into this country. Because of the minds and the hearts the big banks have taught for decades in Latin America. And through the Ford Foundation, with billions of dollars a year on record. Billions a year. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all of it. But Ford Foundation alone, billions a year. They got something like $50 billion in their foundation. Invested in things, tax-free. And they use it against this country. The Ford Foundation is all down there, all over Latin America. Saying America is yours, the U.S. is yours, you're going to take it, you're going to take it over. And communism is the answer to the evil of America. When the mega banks want communism to destroy the middle class, they want to make the United States just like Nigeria, just like Romania, just like Mexico. And they've got people so feeling like they've been persecuted and treated wrong that all over the United States you can't wear American flags in public schools, that you are sent home because that's an offensive symbol. MSNBC, Associated Press, pull it up. Texas, Arizona, California. American flags on businesses are pulled down. American flags on government buildings, on post offices are pulled down, and the Mexican flag is run up. I mean, you would be beaten to death if you did that in Mexico. Because, again, even U.S. schools came out in Texas, all over the state. They pledge allegiance to the Mexican flag every day. They even tell other Latin American kids, well, it doesn't matter if you're from other Latin American countries, you have to pledge allegiance. Mexico is so nationalistic, and America's been taught our nationalism is bad, that they tell people from Puerto Rico, from Venezuela, from Brazil I've talked to, you are a Mexican now, and you're going to pledge allegiance to the Mexican flag. I mean, it's cuckoo. You don't wear American flags at this school, and you pledge allegiance to the Mexican flag. I mean, just type in, school pledges allegiance to the Mexican flag. Folks, they were doing that when I was going to Anderson High. This is what goes on in this country. I was in art class, and the Ford Foundation white art teacher taught me America was evil, white people were evil, and Texas was Mexico, and we were taken to UT to be brainwashed at the art center by a La Reconquista guy that America was evil. And I was like, Santa Ana was a dictator. There were six flags over, you know, there were all these flags over Texas. Mexico couldn't hold this area. Mexico lost Guatemala because they couldn't hold it. What is Mexico? It was a Spanish deal. Don't sit here and say that, oh, this belonged to Mexico. There was nothing here. Mexico couldn't kick out all the Indians, who, by the way, they were hunting down and exterminating. That was the way of the old world. And so they called in the Tennesseans, who were known to go head up to three to one if they had to. That's the stuff they don't, all the Westerns are set in the 1770, 1780 or so out west. That was nothing. I'm talking about wars with, you know, 20,000 Tennesseans against 100,000 natives. I'm talking about whole cities burned, tens of thousands dead, mass wars that you don't even know about in your history. And Mexico said, we can't hold this. Come in here. And then they said, by the way, now that you've kicked all the Indians out, we want your guns and we're kicking you out. And they said, you know what? We just told King George 50-something years ago, 60 years ago to take a hike. My granddaddy kicked George III's butt. Come and take it. You want some of this? You're going to get it. And they don't tell you that a Hispanic wrote the Constitution. They don't tell you about 45% of the fighters were Hispanic or a third of the signers. They steal your heritage as a Texan. They steal your heritage of liberty. They play everybody off against each other. They make it all about how it's race in this country. I mean, if I was a Hispanic from Texas, I would be proud. And let me tell you, there's 6.7 billion people that want to come here. And when they get here, the Democrats and Republicans put them on welfare. They get left alone by the police because there's an incentive. Now, once you're a citizen, they throw the book at you. Being a citizen in the U.S. is known as being a moron. But the point is that we could probably take 30 million illegals here. You know, they've driven down the wages and all the rest of it. I'd say, okay, if you start buying machine guns and getting into freedom and talking bad about the New World Order and defeating the New World Order, I'd say, you know what, 30 million, it's going to drive the wages down and hurt a lot of stuff, but it'll work. No, in the SPP, North American Union documents, the immigrant plan is the plan to bring us down and to outvote people that want liberty. I don't care what color your skin is or what color your hair is. Okay? The point is, it's what's in your mind. And this is a New World Order program. And now they got the Catholic Church here involved in our internal operations and involved in sedition. And the Catholic Church is involved in sedition in our country. And it's a foreign power. And people, net, I draw the line here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You know, you notice that when some Baptist church calls for a anti-gun bill to be struck down at a state level, the feds swoop in and threaten to take their 501c3. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the government has taken that and twisted it to say that churches don't have free speech. Churches do have total free speech. But you see, it's turned around now. By the modern interpretation of this, you have the 30-plus of the 33 of the Hispanic Roman Catholic bishops, totally racial, saying that you've got to legalize all the illegals. Okay, legalize this 30 million. And then I guess the next 30 million, and the next 30 million, and the next 30 million. And when they get here, the government is there trying to put them on welfare. The country is going bankrupt. And then the very same churches teach liberation theology and demonize this country. And I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And it goes on at the Methodist Church here in Austin. I mean, I've been to a major Methodist church that had a different preacher before, and I went back there because I go there with family sometimes, and it was all Bill and Melinda Gates and open the borders up and everything else. I mean, it's just everywhere, everywhere. And it was preachers that led the war for independence in 1776, and now it's, you know, in the case of the Vatican, though, it is a foreign sovereign power, and I don't get into Catholic bashing, Mormon bashing, any of it here, folks. I know a lot of great Catholics, Mormons, whatever. I just love God. I'm not involved in any of this, you know, infighting and stuff. But come on. I mean, if you heard the clips I heard, we found some of them. We haven't found the exact clips of the San Antonio bishop that I heard on 590 this morning on the morning show. They played a bunch of it. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But here's the letter. Do I have a right to migrate to Mexico? No, I don't. Mexico has some of the most draconian laws in the world on immigration. And it's always about the heart. Have a heart. And there's all these programs about have a heart. Have a heart. Obviously, immigrant workers help this country in many respects. But in many respects, politically, they're voting for gun control. They're voting for socialism. I mean, look at what's happened in California, because they see the Democratic Party as their friends. And again, I'm going to say it. I know it's fun to get racially upset and fight with each other. I know it feels good at a primitive level for whites, Hispanics, everybody. But where's the Hispanic group talking about Gardasil to be given to every Mexican schoolchild? See, that was a globalist. I'd act liberal and, oh, I love you, take this shot, and then you can't have kids. See, I actually want everybody to live. I love Black children, white children, Hispanic children, everybody. I'm into life. I don't want women to wonder why they're sterilized or wonder why they have autoimmune diseases or cancer. But see, I don't work for the Ford Foundation. I fight everything the New World Order's for. I fight them. That's the side I stand on. And when you're for open borders, you stand with the New World Order. We're going to go to break and come back. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I haven't even scratched the surface of the broadcast today. If you order by Sunday the 19th, we can get your orders out on Monday. You're guaranteed to get them anywhere in the United States before Christmas. But you need to order by the 19th, whether it's T-shirts, books, bumper stickers at cost, or the Alex Jones Everything Special that's going to end at the end of the month. All of my films, 18 of them on DVD, do all your Christmas shopping at once, $99.95, 70% off. 70% off. And the money we do make supports this entire news operation. So take action today, get all your Christmas shopping done, get some great films, and fund our operation. Also, we're running a year-end 44% off on a yearly membership. You pay for 6.7 months, you get 5.3 months free, or 44% off the nightly news, everything, the films, prisonplanet.tv. Check it out today. Stay with us. Your calls, a ton of news straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, my writers are on fire over at Infowars.com right now. Ron Paul unleashes the truth on Newt. False rumor that the Straits of Hormuz was closed sends oil prices skyrocketing. Now, the Iranians are threatening to close it. Can you imagine if they actually do? What's going to happen? Sheriff Department sponsors secret meeting on small government terrorist. If you want smaller government, you're a terrorist. The government's got an army of immigrants. I think the government's their friend that'll vote for anything they say. I mean, we're in trouble, folks. The globalists know what they're doing. Sheriff Department sponsors secret meeting of small government terrorist. Amazing. Obama wants Iran to return down drone. U.S. Special Forces mass on Syrian border. The real unemployment rate near 20%. InfoWars nightly news. No mandatory mental health screening for children. Article by Ron Paul. SLPA is unconstitutional to criminalize the internet. Modeled on China. And that's what the Weekly Standard and others are reporting. That's all coming up. And I will interview what's probably, well, undoubtedly, the most powerful Ron Paul interview I've ever done. I had to do it taped today because he's so busy. I did it right before, I finished it up before the show aired live today. And so I've got that crunched down into an MP3 to get out to everybody you know once we launch it. And articles that are coming out at 1:30 Central today, or about an hour and a half from now. And we're also going to air it with the audio and the video here. So coming up, it was amazing. Talked about false flag terror. Shipping the guns into Mexico. He talked about, well, he just opened up on Obama, and he also got into how he can win. He got into the NDAA being martial law. It's all there. I mean, it's big. And so we got two Drudge links today, Russian drones watching people. And we've also got this report here that I'm going to get to after we take some calls. Dealing with all this internet censorship, the incredible admissions of it, and also unauthorized Verizon emergency alert causes panic in New Jersey. And that's only part of it. It's just going to get crazier from here on out. Wow. You got the Catholic bishops coming out and basically saying there is no such thing as a migrant, no such thing as an immigrant. Open all borders to 6,700,000,000 people. I mean, it's incredible. The U.S. has the most lenient immigration policies in the world. And the criminals that run the government have done everything they can to turn the immigrants against this country and to brainwash them and turn them into political tools. And now that's happened. And we're going to fall like the Roman Empire because of it. God help this country. God help this country where it's going. Because the globalists know how to use divide and conquer. That's what they did on Libya. We've got to rediscover the Bill of Rights and Constitution across racial, religious grounds. And we've got to get into liberty. It's our only hope. Freedom is what gives our children a future. Freedom is what gives us dignity. Freedom. And Mexico is a completely failed state. We talk about Mexico all day because 81% of the immigrants in this country are from Mexico. Mexico is a failed narco-terror state allied with Wall Street that's helped enslave that country, and they're now going to do the same thing here. And it's the same thing. They're going to jack up the taxes. Socialism is going to be brought in, just like a Latin American country or an African country or a country in Eastern Europe. And there's going to be no voting against the immigrants, period, tend to vote from all over the world. Even when they come from Eastern Europe and communism and hate it, pretty soon the handouts get them to vote for it. And they're going to vote the Second Amendment away, folks. Going to happen. We're very close to it now. And there'll be a civil war, which is what the government wants anyways. It'll be the UN plan, of course, the North American Union, is get rid of all the sovereignty of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, merge the militaries in a quasi-agreement, and then have enclaves. French Canada, Latin American Southwest. It's a real shame. And that's where it's going. And that's the plan. The globalists want to break this country up.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Finishing up with that news report where the Catholic Church says no one's an illegal, legalize everybody. And you got Newt Gingrich supporting it, the big mega banks, the Fortune 500. The whole system supports it. Why? Because it will drive down the wages. It will implode the United States. The globalists want to use low wages and economic tyranny, in their own words, their own post-industrial system, to destroy any middle class. That's what I want. I want everybody to be prosperous and a strong middle class for every race, color, and creed. I know what comes around goes around. I want to develop civilization. I want humanity to work together. But the globalists are in control, only a few thousand of them, because they know how to play different groups off against each other. And you look at Eric Holder last year saying he wants the UN to oversee U.S. elections. The UN runs mass murder all over the world. They line up Latin Americans and Africans and shoot them. Even the New York Times admits to take their property. They inject people all over the world with sterilants and cancer viruses on record. And you tell that to one of these La Reconquista people, and they just go, shut up, imperialist pig. I've been at events here in Austin and in New York. We know who you are. And it'll be like, you know, rich Hispanic and white kids kind of swaggering around, trust fund kids going, shut up, fascist pig. And I'm like, but it's a eugenics program. They're killing everyone. It's soft kill weapons. You know, you need to be against it. Shut up, pig racist. I'm like, oh, you don't want to hear about the UN plan to cut off the food and actually kill the brown people. No, it's just about hating American liberty. It's like, let's get the gringo, burn the Constitution. It's a psychological warfare program, and only by being aware of it can you stop it. Now, here's the news recap before I get to your calls and then the other news. Iran Army declines comment on Member of Parliament Hormuz exercise remarks. They said they may shut down the Strait of Hormuz in a drill. That caused the oil prices to explode. That article's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. Squeezed Britons avoid hotels and car trips, Reuters reports, because they're bankrupt and have no money, which is the globalist plan. You're like, they're destroying the economy. Don't they know when you raise taxes, it slows the economy? They know that. They know carbon taxes in California is going to shut things down faster. That's the plan. They want you poor, getting a tiny government handout, thinking that that's freedom. Russian protesters have encountered surveillance UAV drones. Steve Watson's article breaks it down. And, of course, our media is like the incredible police state of Russia. Meanwhile, they have actual predator drones over U.S. cities and giant tethered blimps. Now, that's the report at Infowars.com. Also, unannounced Verizon emergency alert causes panic. I will get to that at the start of the next hour. I'm going to go to calls right now. 17 signs that the European financial system is heading for an implosion of historic proportions. Continuing with some of the other news we've got here. They're announcing a new H1N1. Oh, a new deadly that a child got, H1N2. And so they're getting that hype already. I'll cover that at the start of the next hour. I promise I'm going to get to all of this. That's just some of the news that we've got here, but some good news as well. Fort Lauderdale, CBS Miami, in the wake of most countries in Europe vowing to stop full body scanners at airports because it's killing tourism, the Broward County Commission is looking into banning the scanners from Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. And the feds have said, well, we'll just embargo all flights into your thing. Call their bluff. See, while we're all talking about rights according to our skin color or rights according to where we live or whatever. We're all being enslaved and microwaved and our children's genitals grabbed. The ban would be put in place until the scanners have scientifically been proven safe. And, of course, they block that information, the fact that it's dangerous. Okay, then I'll get into the incredible. Incredible isn't even the word. It's happening. MPAA head Chris Dodd on online censorship bill. Weekly Standard News. China's the model. They say this is Chinese-style takeover, selective shutdown of free speech. Google chairman says online piracy bill would criminalize the internet. That's The Hill. Here's another one. Washington Post. Internet kill switch. Overkill on internet privacy. Here's another one. Internet privacy bill. A free speech kill switch. Another Hill article. I mean, there's hundreds of these. This is what it does. I told you their plan. They had an international treaty years ago to do this. You see, they were going to cover up Fast and Furious. The internet and alternative news got the documents that came out in court cases and forced the mainstream media to cover it. They can't continue to operate if we've got the internet. Do you understand that, folks? So they're going to selectively start shutting everybody down. And they admit it. And the Pentagon runs it. The Pentagon runs the new rural affairs system over all the states. The TSA is announcing and doing highway checkpoints. Ron Paul, coming up, taped the interview before the show, said the NDAA is martial law and that Eric Holder, what he's done is criminal. Of course it is. And he can get away with it now. They've dropped the investigation basically in Congress and said it's up to Obama now. He's been caught perjuring himself. He's been caught shipping the guns into Mexico. And the memos are public. They were going to blame the Second Amendment. And they just sit there and get away with it. Why? Because the Republican leadership is involved as well. Pre-Obama, they were shipping guns into Mexico to knock off cartels. And, you know, there's always truth to globalist lies. They do something and then blame it on somebody else. When people in Latin America wonder why they're so enslaved, it is, to a great extent, the United States that did it. But it's the bankers running us that did it. And now they're doing the same thing to us. The Mennonites are supplying half the food in places like Paraguay. There's only 60, 70, 80,000 of them. It's only 40,000 adults. The UN is moving to shut them down and not let them farm. So people will die. And they're using race because the Mennonites stay in their own group to keep their religion. I mean, when they're in Germany, they don't breed with other Germans. When they're in Russia and there's German communities next door, they're on the frontier. When they're in the U.S., they don't intermarry people with German surnames because it's an anti-Baptist group. They're using race there, and they're probably going to shut them down in Paraguay. Get out, Whitey. Okay, goodbye, we're gone. Half the food gone. Tens of millions of people, half the food produced by 40,000 adults. Goodbye, bye-bye, gringo. The U.N. knows just how to operate. Here come the Mennonites down the road. They throw a hand grenade in. Blow the whiteys up. And it's trendy and liberal because the UN does it. The UN wants all those people starving to death. You see, you got to figure out how this works. My dad was just down there at a soccer game. He was down there helping poor kids. But they took him to a soccer game, and it got through the media said a hand grenade. My dad was so close, he saw it. It was a stick of dynamite. My dad knows he grew up on a ranch blowing stumps up with dynamite. It was dynamite. He was about 60 yards away. Guy threw a stick of dynamite in the crowd, blew up the umpire and one other person. Mennonites go down the road with their milk and food they produced to sell at absolute lowest prices, blow them up, boom, dead. That's where America's going. All right, I'm done ranting. I apologize. Let's talk to Carl in Oregon. You're on the air.
Alexander Emmerich Jones.
Hey, buddy.
Carl Leon Beardsley, your InfoWarrior, reporting in as ordered, sir.
Good to have you here.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the kind email. I got the email from you a few days ago welcoming me to the Prison Planet family.
You bet, sir. Thank you for the support. We couldn't do it without you.
Thank you. I just want to run down about three or four things really quick because time is very short. I just wanted to say hello to Eugene and Betty Jean Martinez down in California. They're the ones that got me involved in the program to help support this mission. So I want to just say hey and thanks and God bless to them and happy holidays. Did you know that Michael Jackson, when he did his This Is It world tour, just before the start of that, he was warning the people about 2012?
I knew that he was making anti-establishment comments and things, but I never really followed up on it, and I get a lot of emails about that. What do you know about it?
Well, he said, I was looking on YouTube, because YouTube has, you know, thousands of things that are in there. They're quite fascinating. And in his warning, he says, we have less than, this is like in 2008, 2009, we have less than 3 years to do something about this, about what's going on in the world, worrying about the New World Order and so on and so forth, or it's going to be irreversible and it's going to be too late.
I need to look that up, because I get emails about that all the time, but you say you heard it. Very interesting. No, I didn't really follow that up.
Right. Now, two more items really quick, Alex, and I'll let you get going.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just, by surprise, I went to the mailbox yesterday, and I did receive a cost of living increase from Social Security.
Wow, they said they were freezing the COLAs still.
Right. I got them both yesterday. I got a $46 increase for January 2012. So I think what's going on is they know that there's going to be a devaluation of the currency quite greatly. So I think that the reason why they're sending them is because we're going to go into a hyperinflation for sure.
I've got a big stack of news today, mainstream basically saying that's the case. Good to hear from you. Great points. Ted in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Alex, Ted, I just wanted to say I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I find it very interesting. I have one question. You're talking about the oil being shut down in Iran. Most of that oil goes to Europe, doesn't actually affect the United States.
Exactly, which the globalists want to implode Europe first. Yes, now you get it.
Refineries here in the United States, we make about, 4 to 5 billion gallons or billion barrels. I was just looking at the list every day. And most of that is shipped out. So why don't we just...
Are you sure? I think you're talking about million, because the U.S. uses 25 million barrels a day. Last time I checked, and I think exports about 10 million barrels.
I just went through the list on all the 200 refineries. Most of them are owned by foreign countries, and that oil is processed here in the United States and goes elsewhere. We don't get to touch it.
No, I know. If you go down to South Texas, you watch the barges leaving with the refined oil, now gasoline. Our natural gas is exported too, but I mean, the issue here is... I'm just telling you, the United States uses 25 million barrels a day. Guys, pull it up. But I mean, what's your final point?
More. And we sell it out, but we do not tax it. We tax it as if it was consumed here in the United States. Why don't we go and tax the exported oil as an export, not as a U.S. Produced product?
Well, you don't usually want to tax your exports, but I hear you.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Okay, we are back, and I want to continue with your phone calls. I did pull up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, because the guy was talking about billions, and I think he may have read that wrong. The United States level is 21 million barrels a day. My numbers, it's been as high as 25 million barrels, but the economy shut down, who knows. And a total of approximately 51.2 billion in sour crude. I got to read all these numbers. You know, I'll have to read this later. The USPR is the largest emergency supply in the world with a current capacity of 727 million barrels. So that's the strategic reserve. The current inventory is displayed by the SPR's website. As of May 31st, 2001, the current inventory was 726.5 million barrels. That allows them to manipulate the oil price. It's not really for our security. That equates to 34 days of oil at current daily U.S. consumption level of 21 million barrels a day. That was my point, is they're not exporting billions of barrels a day, because the entire reserve, 726 million. At recent market prices, $65 a barrel, the SRP holds 334.3 billion in sweet crude. That may be the number he was reading. And approximately 51.2 billion in sour crude. That's where he got the 50 billion number, is how much it's worth. Okay, so there we go. I was correct. All right, let's go ahead and talk to... I wasn't like, I'm correct. Look, I showed you I'm correct. I'm into checking myself constantly because I get things wrong. Now let's go ahead and talk to John in Louisiana. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, great to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
A few things. I just want to say this. Great that you interviewed Ron Paul. I'm a huge supporter of Ron Paul. And my aunt knows him personally in Lake Jackson. And I said that man is one of the most honest constitutional statesmen that there is.
No, he's Dudley Do Right with 170 IQ.
Oh, yeah. He's a great American. And he is the only choice that we have. And that's basically it.
Now, he is so real. He's so good. And it just shows you how wicked our so-called media is. They're a bunch of hijacked, lying brainwashers desperately trying to keep the American people under their control.
Exactly.
The fact that they sit there and do the things they do to him just shows what trash they are.
I mean, it's just blatant. It's just, if you're open and you can see what's going on, it's just blatant.
Yeah, and the globalist ace in the hole is to have 30 to 50 million illegals here who we can't communicate with and who can't wake up to liberty, who think the government's their friend, to checkmate America ever kicking the globalist out. Instead of all of us just discovering liberty, legalizing freedom, and the whole world can move towards liberty. Instead, we're moving towards World War III.
Oh, definitely. And I sent, about the NDAA bill, I sent David Vitter an email, and right before he was supposed to vote, and I also called his office and talked to his stooge aide, who just basically didn't say anything about what David Vitter was going to do, and just said he would pass along the message. Well, after the vote, I got an email from David Vitter. I don't know if this is just automatic response they give through emails or whatever, but it was basically some tripe about how they were supposed to fight the war on terror. And
That's all they ever do is Ron Paul won't get rid of our liberties and have a war on our freedom. He's the enemy. Thanks, John. Janice in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. I have a little bad news this quick. Last week, they passed a bill like suspending the rules or whatever, where it's passed with unanimous consent with no debate. And it gives, it's H.R. 2405, and it reauthorizes the 2004 Project BioShield, 2006 All Health Preparedness. Gene Green, one of the authors of the bill, goes into this whole spiel about that Galveston lab. And says, it's the only lab in the United States owned by a university because it's owned by UC.
Yeah, it's a level 4 bioweapons lab in a level 2 level. And that means stuff that will kill everybody's 98% of people that are exposed to it or 99. Totally weaponized, deadly stuff like Ebola, you name it. And it's in a level 2 bio system on a coastline ravaged by hurricanes. It's totally insane, and they're building them all over the country so they can develop new vaccines to try to force on us. What else you want to tell us, Janice?
Well, can you look at this H.R. 2405 because it gives more money to that lab and gives more power and money to the evil Sebelius and more vaccine stockpiling they kept talking about.
Oh, yeah, no. The government pays the companies to produce the weapons to soft kill us. I mean, it's a global takeover. The sky is gray. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I'm only after the truth. I'm only after anthropology, sociology, archaeology, psychology. I study what it is to be human. I study history. I learn more and more by the day. And I realize the globalists understand how humans operate. They make their study of that, and they treat us like animals. They treat us like people in an artificial environment. In fact, I'm going to do a film review of The Island, a movie that came out 5 or 6 years ago. So I was watching it on the treadmill jogging this morning. And just the archetype or the metaphor of the people in this artificial city believing there's been a plague that killed everybody outside the city and that the police state's to keep them safe. And really, they're just clones to provide organs to their wealthy counterparts on the outside. And they talk about eugenics. I need to find out the author of the book that that's based on, and if they're alive, try to interview them, because that's really the establishment telling you what they know. And a lot of times I've learned with Hollywood, they're actually against what's happening. There's a new movie out that I'd forgotten that I'm in, that I haven't had a chance to watch it all yet, but it's got Demi Moore and a whole bunch of other big stars in it, and it's just now coming out in select art house theaters. It's kind of in that phase. But it's a big movie. It won the Sundance Film Award for Best Screenplay. And they're back there. They told me about it yesterday. I'd forgotten that I shot the video and audio for it a year ago and just kind of blew it off because I'm always moving forward. And then I started getting emails pouring in yesterday going, I just saw this at the movie theater. You're in this movie. You're like all over it. And they're back there watching it right now. And they're just completely blown away by the fact that, I mean, I'm just all over it. And people are like, wow, this is positive. There's all these anti-New World Order, anti-gun control rants in it. Well, I'm going to do a review of it the next few days, and I'll just leave it at that. But something we need to discuss. Now, at the start of the next hour, for those of you that are holding, coming up in about 25 minutes, I'm going to get to you. I'm going to go to Matt, Bruno, Lyndon, Otter, Mike, and others that are patiently holding. And we will get to all of you and get your breakdown of what you want to say. And then I'm going to get into all the internet censorship being openly announced now. They're trying to pass legislation to do it. We got the huge Ron Paul interview coming up. But I wanted to get Piers Corbin on, and we're going to talk to him in just a moment. But then I want to get more into this whole, how they want to play us all off against each other. Black, white, native groups, old, young, and they use the same tactics to get us to kill each other. You know, what happened to the Native Americans was wrong. What happened to blacks was wrong. What happened to white slaves in Rome was wrong. And it's time for us to treat every human with the same dignity and the same admiration for the human spirit, to realize that the collectivist are actually hyping up multiculturalism and the rest of it to get us fighting with each other and in each other's throats. So I'm going to speak more to that coming up. Now, Piers Corbin has been called by Associated Press and even Fox News as one of the top long-term weather forecasters in the world. He can do it a year out. And he, I remember 2 years ago on this show, said, you're going to have a very wet winter and Texas is going to have flooding. We were in the middle of a drought then. It was flooding, the lakes filled back up, and then the drought came back in. He said, you'll have a drought again. We had him on a year ago. And he does it as the ancients did. They don't know exactly why it works this way, but the moon blocking the sun and its solar winds, a lot of factors go into it. And he's with weatheraction.com. He's a meteorologist and an astrophysicist, studies, of course, how the heavens have an effect on the earth, a consultant and owner of Weather Action, who makes weather forecasts up to a year in advance. Corbin is well known for his opposition to the idea of anthropogenic global warming. And he just has, I've seen some statistics of about, what is it, an 87% accuracy rate in long-term forecasting when others in long-term forecasting have no accuracy to speak of. And so he breaks down the fact that they use limited models for how they claim the weather works, ignoring the sun, the moon, solar radiation, which they now admit the ionizing stuff coming in is the main driver. Of course, any plant knows if it had a brain, it's the sun. Piers Corbin, great to have you here with us. Break down.
Yes.
Great to have you. You're going to have the floor here in a moment. I appreciate you joining us. Break down from your research how things are really working versus what they teach. And then we're honored to have you. Give us your long-term and short-term forecast, sir.
Okay. Well, the important thing about what we say is, first of all, as far as CO2 is concerned, to get that out of the window, it's no evidence whatsoever that CO2 controls weather or climate. If anything, world temperatures drive carbon dioxide levels on average because that's driven by the sea. So when it gets warmer, CO2 comes out of the sea because it doesn't dissolve so well. Right. Now, as far as what we do, we find that it's the charged particles from the sun ejected by the sun, hitting Earth and affecting the ionosphere and all levels of the ionosphere, which change climate and weather. Now, these are modulated by magnetic connections, whether they're good or bad, which goes into magnetic cycles, and the stratospheric winds above the at upper levels of the atmosphere, and the moon, which interrupts the solar wind in various ways. So by understanding these processes in a kind of best we can work out when in the past there'll be similar total forcing situations for the Earth weather as there will be sometime in the future, and we can use that weather in the past to predict the future.
Now, as you've said in previous longer interviews, the ancients in every culture, whether it was Mesoamerica or the Babylonians, they knew the sun and moon affected it.
They certainly knew a lot of things. They did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't know why. They just knew that it had an effect. But I saw the UN at Copenhagen, as you know, 2 years ago, pass a resolution saying the sun does not affect our climate. That's like saying water doesn't affect fish, correct?
Correct. Yes, well, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, man can pass laws about what man does, but man cannot pass laws about nature. I mean, that is insanity. It's delusional nonsense. And, well, the CO2 warmers are a religious sect, really. And what we've seen in Durban is just the last gasp of a religious sect who are desperate to predict anything, claim everything that happens is theirs in order to protect their gravy train.
Yeah, they're like the preacher that said, the preacher 6 months ago that said Jesus was coming and then he didn't, so he backed it down the road. I mean, really, it's the same silly witch doctoring that we see from, and of course, I'm a Christian. I'm just saying, people coming out saying they know all this stuff and they're 100, you know, Al Gore, we'd all be underwater by now. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, does Al Gore believe it? I mean, he's calling on the third world to not develop or to develop in his own way with low carbon footprint, as he calls it, which is cost three times as much. Now, if Al Gore believed this, he would reduce his own carbon footprint, but he's got the carbon footprint which is the envy of probably 90% of people in America. Namely, they'd like to have, you know, as many cars as he's got and as many households as he's got, all producing CO2. So it's total hypocrisy, and furthermore, he's got a house near the sea, so obviously he doesn't believe it's going to be a great flood soon. At all. It's just nonsense, lies, deceit, and in the end, theft from the vast bulk of the population.
And by the way, that's not our opinion. We have the emails. It's all come out now. But shifting gears out of that to real science, and again, the media's done analysis. We've shown the articles in the past. They're on your website. You can see the past forecast. You've been stunningly accurate. So I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. Can you give me the North American prognosis, sir?
Well, we will do tomorrow. Is we had a number of statements we made back in October, which have been turning out right, actually. But for some parts of Europe, they're certainly be going wrong. So we've been revising those forecasts. And in a week or so, I'll be glad to come back and give you a much fuller one for the USA and South Canada. The interesting thing is there's going to be a lot of wild fluctuations this winter. They're not going to be uniformly cold, but there will be some very heavy snow bouts, and I'd like to, give you the right timing of those. So if you have me on in a week or two, we'll give you all we know, but we are checking.
Sure, I understand you're crunching the latest numbers, but I mean specifically, generally for North America, what, I mean, I know you don't want to give your full forecast before it's ready, but
Well, there's going to be some very, very severe bouts of snow in the northeast at times. That is true, with thunder snow as well, and we've got some provisional ideas of when, but it's best to come back with,
But I noticed six, 8 months ago, you did predict early snow and
rain. Oh, we did.
And it was record early for Colorado and other states.
No, that's right. No, we were very pleased with that. But especially if I come back to you on the detail. Because what happened in Europe was very interesting. We expected, we had a mild start to November, which happened. We expected it to cool down quite rapidly to an exceptionally cold December. Now, it didn't cool down like we thought. So then we looked carefully at the options in the past and found that rather than the ones where the moon was more important, we should look at the ones where stratospheric winds are more important, because there is choices about the past. So we changed to that set of options. And that says that December in Britain and West Europe will be cold, pretty cold, and snowy until near the end, but not exceptionally cold. So, you know, we've changed the forecast, and what we've said now, the revised forecast is working out superbly, and there is a lot of snow in the north parts, and it's rain in southwest England, which is what we said. And we're also, interestingly, predicting a very very mild spell right at the end of the month, where there'll be low pressure just sweeping in, making it very mild in Europe. Now, that may be accompanied by very cold and very snowy in northeast USA, but before saying that, for sure, we want to check a few things.
Generally, well, then obviously we'll get you on in a week or two. Should I get you on later next week or early in the next week to make sure that you've got it all ready?
Later next week will be good.
Okay, well, then I'll ask Jaron, the producer, to. How about we set you up for next Friday, sir?
Yeah, that'll be perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Well. Since you say you're not quite ready with the forecast, you know, in the next 6 months into the next year, which I totally understand because you're actually doing real science, not just making stuff up like Al Gore, generally... looking at the world and the Enviro cult that's actually a cover for the eugenics cult, Lord Monckton and others point out that they admit in their internal documents that are public, they want to reduce population. They want to cut off they want to cut off the third world's energy, but then they always lecture everyone that we've got to get these carbon deals to help the third world when it's really a death sentence, and that really the mainline liberals aren't liberals at all. They are a bunch of green fascist anti-humans.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, I've been to meetings where, you know, they sort of forgotten we were there, and they suddenly start talking about reducing world population. And then they say, you know, the world has to go down by one third or a half, and but it only has to be 25% in the United Kingdom, they say. Now, how they're going to achieve this, I've no idea.
Yeah, well, my point is, and I see the same thing in England and Europe, they say the carbon people are like, have open borders, have, you know, to the third world, be loving to them. And I'm like, how about you not shoot them up with deadly vaccines and that you've been caught spiking, and how about you don't cut their power off and their development?
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, I support the electrification of Africa, and if that requires coal-fired power stations, which are the cheapest, then that's what should be done. Of course, you can remove the smoke, so they're not polluting in the true sense. But the extra carbon dioxide they produce would be good for agriculture in Africa anyway.
Yeah, generally looking at the Earth, because I know you're an astrophysicist, so you can speak to space weather, not just Earth weather. This is always intriguing. I get Lord Monckton on. I even watch Discovery Channel pieces. I've read some of the literature from the universities of carbon dioxide hundreds of times higher. And just in the last million years or so, I've seen numbers of 14 times higher and things like that.
That's true.
So here's my question. If it's so low, a trace gas that all plants need to live, part of the carbon cycle, and if it's 0.390, sometimes measured 0.360, and they want to lower it, if it's such a trace gas, and from what I've read, the Earth is in a carbon dioxide low level, this phenomenon in Earth history, what's going on?
Well, what we have now is the most efficient plant that we've ever had. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but evolutionary speaking, there's two types of photosynthesis, and there's a second, more efficient type around now. So there's type 1 plant and type 2 plant working in parallel. And I think the main reason for the low levels now, as there was one time about 300 million years ago in the past, is these very efficient plants. The last time it was as low as this for any length of time was 300 million years ago. I don't know if that marked the advent of type 2 photosynthesis or what. There were then fluctuations. I'm looking at the graph now, and it went up by... about a factor of 5 or 10 for a while, and then came down again to current levels. Extra CO2 is no danger. It's a good thing.
Well, but sir, let me stop you. Obviously, plants put off more oxygen. Humans and animals are healthier, we know, in a higher oxygen level. Plants, I've read, can't deal with as much stress. They believe the desertification of many areas of Sahara has actually been because of lower CO2. So obviously you're on the same page. To me, it looks like a danger of not having enough CO2, and then we bleed out like Mars.
Well, that's true. Well, Mars, what happened in Mars is probably to do with other things, but CO2 levels, if they go very low, much lower than they are now, it means some plants wouldn't survive. Now, you see, there's certain, and I would say, mad scientists, and that is the right word, in the delusional CO2 warmest camp, who want to develop microbes which would remove CO2. Now, from the atmosphere, now, if these microbes are more efficient than photosynthesis, then they would reduce the levels of CO2 in the world, and the consequences would be that all plant life would die. And if that happened, we would die too.
Yeah, I saw that. They're developing these. They could release them and kill the planet.
They are insane and dangerous, these people. And quite frankly, they should be locked up or set to do some useful work, such as coal mining in Africa, to help electrify Africa.
I know. We're trying to empower Latin America, Africa, Asia. I want people to live and be wealthy. And then fake liberals call us racist when they want to kill these brown people deader than a hammer.
Sure. I think I should tell you a few things about general pictures of the future and more extreme events and so on. I mean, the first thing to know about our forecast is that when we have a big extreme event, we normally also predict some event on the sun, and you can see...
Tell you what, stay there. You've done that accurately. Yeah, final segment, Piers. Stay there. WeatherAction.com. Incredible scientist. Incredible information. And yes, they're already testing microbes that destroy carbon dioxide. Get rid of it. Folks, they want to kill the planet. These people are psychopathic demons from...
Riders on the storm... Riders on the storm.
To this world we're born. To this world we're thrown.
Into this world we're thrown.
We are on a planet orbiting a giant star who has mass coronal ejections of flame thousands of times bigger than our planet. We are bathed in its radiation and its storms. The moon blocks that radiation at many times. The UN says it has no effect on us. Really, the Earth tilt away from the sun is what controls our seasons. This is how dumb they think you are. If you give the globalists a ride, my sweet darling, we will die. There is a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. We're going back to our guest, Piers Corbin. We're almost out of time. He's graciously going to come back on next Friday or next Thursday with us when he's got the full computerized report broken down. But finishing up the point about events here will be seen as events on the sun. Piers Corbin, go ahead.
Hello, yes. Well, yeah, the point I wanted to make is that with our process, you can see events on the sun, which we predict, and then the consequential events on Earth. And if people go on our website and look at Weather Action News number 31, for example, it spells out there, is it just an example, 5th and 6th of November, we said there'd be a lot of events on the sun, and there was a very big active solar region, number AR1339. We also predicted, coinciding with that, or just following it, there would be that's a possible tornado event in southwest England, which are quite rare, and there was one. We also predicted a deep low crossing the USA, which it did. And we predicted there would be more earthquakes in that period, which there were. So you can see the chain of events, which of course actually exist in reality, whereas there's no CO2 explanation for any of these things. Now, you'll be interested to know what's going to happen in the next year or so. And in general terms, there will be more of these very extreme events because of the Sun-Earth magnetic state we're in. And then after that, in a couple of years, there'll probably be less of these very extreme events. But there'll be a general shift to more cooling in the Northern Hemisphere. The jet stream will come further south. So we'll have more of these very cold winters, heavy snow, and so on. And there'll be similar problems in the Southern Hemisphere.
Now, sir, you're fading off whenever you talk a little softer. You were saying because we're in a higher magnetic field. What were you saying a minute ago?
No, what we're in is a solar minimum and moving towards the maximum.
Okay.
Well, there'd actually be more activity. But the Sun-Earth magnetic state is changing all the time. And we're now in a period for these, you know, a few years of these very extreme events because of the coincidences.
Well, they say Texas is in a twice-a-century drought, and that's normally 9 years long. They say we're in the end of the eighth year. Is that all just poppycock? Or, I mean, that's what the old-timers say, or is that based in reality?
Well, it might be true, but you mean, has it ever happened before? Well, of course it's happened before. All these things have happened before. So it will end in due course, and it's nothing to do with mankind. You see, when you see so many extreme things happening which we can predict in detail, it's ridiculous to say, well, anything we can't predict must be done by CO2. Just with more science, you actually can predict more things.
Wow. Well, we'll have to get that full report from you next Friday. Piers Corbin of WeatherAction.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And that guy is amazing, and his website is amazing, and he knows what's really going on. Amazing information. Okay. We're going to come back and go to your phone calls and cover other news ahead of the big Ron Paul interview. Most hardcore, best ever. Taped it right before the show. Don't forget, we've got something running up until the end of the year. And if you order by the 19th, it's guaranteed delivered to you before Christmas. The Alex Jones Everything Special, 18 DVDs at 70% off at Infowars.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, everybody. Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're going to premiere that Ron Paul interview at 1:30. It'll air here for the first time, the video, the audio, all of it. It was amazing. I'm going to cover news and take your calls right now. We cover it all with Ron Paul. Right now, let's go to Bruno in Maryland, then Lyndon, Otter, Mike, Matt, and others. In fact, Matt's next after Bruno. I just skipped Matt. Bruno, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, great to talk to you. Alex, I'm a Catholic priest and just wanted to weigh in on your reference to that bishop's document.
Yes, sir.
I've spent years researching it, and thank you, my brother, for all your stuff. I devour it. Alex, I just want to say, sadly, you might give them too much credit. I don't think these are guys who get the score. And it's ironic. You look back to Pope Pius X 100 years ago, and he said people who dreamed this utopia was possible, were insane dreamers and miscreants. And I don't think they understand. I really don't. I think they have this utopian, naive vision, and that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, you're right. It's not the entire Catholic Church that's calling for the open borders. It's the 33 Hispanic bishops. But see how that's a right? I mean, are they calling for Mexico to have open borders? Mexico's got some of the most controlled. The U.S. is wide open. We're bankrupt. And then it's like this idea that Newt has said, and it's, so has Perry, that have a big heart. Give people who are illegal immigrants in-state tuition. Illegals, people in other states don't get that because it's paid for by Texas taxpayers. Well, why don't we have a big heart then and just give everybody something free? Because you can't do that. I mean, it's crazy. That alone.
Oh, absolutely. And it's Cardinal Ratzinger, who's gone on to be the current pope. It's amazing, a man in his position back then, he openly lamented the quality of bishops chosen after the 1960s. And we're in quite a crisis. The best description I ever heard was it's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party writ large. But but I don't think they're on board, Alex. I don't think, certainly they're not friends of the nations and Bilderbergs and globalists. I really think that they just dream of this silly future.
Well, all I know is the Ford Foundation, the globalists, the UN are all for totally open borders. We've got the most open society ever, and the globalists are using our freedom against us. And as I said, I mean, there's 6,700,000,000 people. Are they all going to come here? And then, and here's my issue with the average immigrant. They are buying the government's their friend, and when the government says you shouldn't own guns and we need higher taxes and communism, they think that's good. Because the government's acting like they're their friend. They're not your friend. I mean, where are these Hispanic bishops warning Mexico not to take the Gardasil shot? Where are they? No. The UN and others are pushing to not develop Mexico. You see, I actually want people to do well. I don't want them to be dead and sterile. But instead, they give them this fake liberation theology of, well, you'll get those evil Americans. What about folks that are in your parish or flock or whatever? I mean, are they awake to what's going on?
Enough people are. They certainly know where I stand. But honestly, Alex, we got to kind of choose our spots and lay low, unfortunately. And even the folks who would call themselves comparatively conservative, no, I don't think they get the whole thing. And I guess that's my underlying point in speaking to you. When you mentioned the Ford Foundation, the UN, they know the score. They know what they want to accomplish. And I really do think at least this collection of bishops are really in a haze. Somebody once called the U.S. Bishops Conference the Democratic Party at prayer.
No. So I've seen that. Yeah, no, it's certainly. And it's not just the Catholic Church. It's the Methodist, even a lot of Baptists. I mean, I see the Catholic Church and other churches put out anti-gun stuff. I mean, it's like, look, this is America. Stop attacking the Second Amendment. I appreciate your call. More calls straight ahead and a ton of news. That Ron Paul interview to premiere here in T-minus 25 minutes.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers. The strivers. The builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah! I am fired up. We've got a hardcore interview with Ron Paul coming up in minutes. Kurt Nemo has already heard and seen the interview I did with Ron Paul that we taped right before the show kicked off at 11 a.m. today. And so that article is going up in mere minutes at Infowars.com. Then once the audio and video has aired for the first time here on the radio for our XM listeners, AM and FM listeners, Global Shortwave, Internet Stream listeners, PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Once the interview has aired, coming up at the bottom of the hour, then we will post the video and the audio and all of it in the articles at Infowars.com. Now, he's got an article coming out, and I was just back there with him working on the headline, titled Ron Paul, Fast and Furious, A Criminal False Flag. It's up. Just went live. Seconds ago, already two comments. Ron Paul, Fast and Furious, A Criminal false flag. You could also have the headline, Justice Department has committed crimes in Fast and Furious. I mean, boom! Boom! It's big! And as soon as we've aired the interview, at the end of the show coming up, in about 50 minutes, we will post the audio and the video right there at Infowars.com. Now, that's only one article. Paul Watson's article, he got the audio as well. We crunched it down in MP3, sent him a link. He's got the article coming up on the angle of Ron Paul saying that the NDAA is martial law. This is big to have Ron Paul coming out and telling it like it is. That's like 4 years ago when he talked about the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the Trans-Texas Corridor. CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, I played the clips here, all went on TV and said, Ron Paul is insane. This does not exist. He is talking about imaginary things. Now, understand, we had at that time the SPP documents. Judicial Watch had sued and gotten them. It was even in some newspapers, mainstream papers. There were billboards up saying, welcome to the first leg of the NAFTA Superhighway development inner port zone in Kansas City and Dallas, Texas. Ross Perot owned one of them. Giant billboards that we videotaped and that are online in my film Endgame saying, Trans-Texas Corridor, part of the NAFTA Superhighway system, official Department of Transportation documents. And they think the public is so dumb. I just saw an article the other day in Mother Jones saying Ron Paul. What was the headline on that article? It attacked me as well. It was Ron Paul, don't believe the hype, I think was the headline. Yeah, don't believe your hype. It said he can't win. He goes on Alex Jones's show. They believe there's a North American Union forming. We're already in one. They've already got Canadian and Mexican troops in the U.S. and vice versa. They now allow Mexican troops in the U.S. and Texas in shootouts. It's all over the South Texas news. Yeah, there it is. Don't believe the hype. I mean, they think their readers, I mean, if I was a Mother Jones reader and somebody treated me like that, this is like saying Disney World doesn't exist in Orlando, Florida, or George Washington doesn't exist. It's like saying giraffes don't have brown spots and little horns or antlers. It's like saying a crocodile doesn't have teeth. It's like saying fish don't have eyes. Spiders don't have fangs. It's like saying fire hydrants don't have water in them. It's like saying fire engines aren't red. Fire isn't hot. Sky isn't blue. Black isn't black. White isn't white. Up isn't up. Down isn't down. Left isn't left. Right isn't right. I mean, they just say Ron Paul is insane. He says that there's a North American Union forming when it's all public, but not on the news. And people, I tell you, these so-called liberals, I watch their shows on MSNBC and stuff, and I read them. It's all about how they're so smart, and they're so intellectual, and these idiots that believe in government corruption are crazy. You people are like moron children who've been given, you know, 10 times the dose of Prozac with a ladling of shock therapy and were run over by a car. I know it feels good to stand around in a mutual admiration society going, oh, we're so smart. Oh, we're so smart. Oh, we're so trendy. Oh, we're so, you know, I don't have time for it anymore. I mean, in fact, you can show them. They actually found the article. Yeah, it's Ron Paul, don't believe the hype. I wasn't even going to mention it. But that lie is so incredible. You scroll down there. It talks about the NAFTA Superhighway. And it says, Ron Paul talks about things that don't exist and then giggles and then links to some other article making it up. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to the Trans-Texas Corridor and the North American Union Department of Transportation meetings in Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas. Their maps are all public. The development zones, they're building part of it outside Austin. The plan to put toll roads on all the roads. I mean, it's all happening. The city council 2 years ago, then I'm going to your calls, was still saying they weren't going to put toll roads on MOPAC and I-35 when people got mad. And then they're back announcing it, but they're saying we're not calling them toll roads. We're calling them, I forget, some special lane or something. I mean, it's like when we exposed that the bill was for U.S. citizens. For 2 weeks, the media said we were liars and crazy and that it wasn't for U.S. citizens. And then when it was admittedly for U.S. citizens, they said, so what? And then now they've doubled back and say it isn't for U.S. citizens. I remember reading the Patriot Act in 2001, right after it passed in October. I remember reading it the 28th, the day after it passed, because you couldn't read it until they passed it. Then they made it public. That was the first time that happened. Now they do it all the time. And it said it's for general public misdemeanors, no more Bill of Rights, no more Constitution, breaking your house without warrants, give you a gag order if you do. And I would get on air and talk about it. And I went to the city council and they would laugh at me and say, Mr. Jones, everybody knows that isn't true. And I'm like, here's the subsection. And the next time I went down there, they actually listened and Austin said they weren't going to follow it. People say, oh, well, the cities can't say anything to the feds. Oh, really? 800 plus cities have total amnesty for illegals. Even though that is a violation of state and federal law. Why can't the states enforce what is constitutional if they're doing stuff that's unconstitutional? No, all the power is local and the globalists know that. And the minute we figure that out is the minute we take this country back. But that's not in the Patriot Act, and they're militarily just lying to you to make the debate about is it in there or not, instead of, hey, do we want this in there? We're not chemtrailing, but we are. This is not an assault at Waco as they machine gun the people. Mars attacks. Don't run, we are your friends. Oh, you're my friend? Laser beams them. I mean, that doesn't work on me. Somebody has a dagger going, don't put your hands up, I'm a friend. That's a classic thing killers do. Do what I say and everything will be all right. No, everything's not going to be all right if you go along with them. Sure, he may stab you or shoot you right there in the shopping mall parking lot, but at least you're not going to some dungeon where they can torture you and enjoy themselves. I'm going to do what I've done, not once, but twice, once with a gun, once with a knife. I couldn't help it. It wasn't because I was brave. You pull a knife and gun on me, I'm going to try to take it away, and then I'm going to hurt you. Because all I got to do is just remove that compulsion and not hurt people. Oh, the governor? I'm turning it off. Click. Tell my brain, kill. You see, we're given all these instincts for a reason, and it's time we use them in the info war. You're powerful. The system's scared of you. Enough to jack your water and food with stuff to make you passive, on record. But you can jack that anytime you want. You can tell your brain, I'm aware of the poisoning. Jack it. I'm under attack. I'm done with it. Doesn't matter what you tried on me. You have no idea how much power you've got, and the scum knows it. Matt in California, thanks for holding her on the air. Welcome.
I'd like to get a little nerd going on to help the InfoWars out there try to find some information on the internet.
Sure.
And a way to do that, if you have like Mozilla Firefox,
yes, sir.
In the browser, put about, comma, config, and then hit the enter button or go, and it'll basically have like a little warning deal there. Just click past that, and then you can see in there where all the whitelist and blacklist are, and you can turn them all off.
That's right. If people would just learn how all their programs work, the legalese is, oh, you could turn off the surveillance the private companies have. Then, of course, when you do that, you always catch them backdooring it. But the point is, make it harder for them. Use things like Start Page with Catherine Albrecht. That's a proxy. You know, and it's not that you have something to hide. It's that, why do you even have walls if you have something to hide? You're not bad to have bathroom walls. You want privacy. Again, people that say, well, why do you want Bill of Rights and Constitution? Why don't you just let us do what we want? We have privacy because we need privacy. Because why do you need a lock on your door? Because there's bad people out there. Why do you need a lock on government? Because it gets out of control in every case. This is all common sense. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about Sun Microsystems. They have a program out basically like for a video game, and it's called Project Darkstar. And what you do is, as a human, you go in and play the video game, and you go up against some AI. That AI, you kill them off the land, so they move away from that land, and then you start building whatever there. When they go away, they start fighting each other, and they learn how to kill each other. So then they come back and try to kill you again. If they don't succeed, they go back and do it over and over and over again, and then they learn how to kill you.
Now, that's what the globalists do. But again, they know resistance is victory. We resist them, we get better. You understand? That's why we fight them. You understand you can turn that around the other way, you understand? You understand that, correct?
Yeah, I know. They're doing it with computer chips. They're doing it with all kinds of stuff.
Well, we got something pretty powerful, too. Electro.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
That's right.
No matter.
The globalists aren't going to be able to create all these fake right-wing, left-wing revolutions that are under their control. We're having a revolution against the manipulators. We are discovering the tools they've used for control, the magic trick. We're going to give the keys, the secret of the tricks, away. It's the atomic age of the renegades. All right, I'm going to go to your calls, the Ron Paul interview that I taped right before we went live today is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful ever. That's going to be streaming in audio and video at Infowars.com and out to XM, AM, and FM stations everywhere when we start the next segment. It's a segment long, 18 minutes long. It's coming up. But right now, let's go ahead and take a call here. Moving quickly, let's talk to Mike and then Otter, Lyndon, and Kyle. No. Lennon's up first. He's been holding the longest. Lyndon in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alex Jones? I'm Lyndon Glazer in Houston, Texas. I don't want to waste your time. I want to tell you something good. I've been listening to you, and a lot of Americans need to get behind Ron Paul. I can't wait for the interview. They need to listen to you. We're running out of time. We can't sit there and wait till a nuclear bomb kill our children. So what I did was I emailed you. My email is lyndonpaul@live.com. I would like you to do one thing for me, Alex. If you can forward my email to Bruce Fine, the constitutional scholar, I got a petition that can take these people to federal court, put them in jail, and put warrants out for their arrest, and I got a plan to enforce it. We need to do this because this is the way we take our liberty back, is with information. We have the Constitution as our weapon. We have the willpower. There's been enough people been ripped off, like Jerry Salente. All these people that's been criminalized can file formal charges against all these people, including Eric Holder, everybody. I got a good petition.
Lyndon, let me say this. Bruce Fine's got a website. I forget the name of it, but you can get a hold of him there. But send us your petition, and I'll try to send it over to him. I say try, because sometimes stuff falls to the cracks. But God bless you, and great points. Thanks for holding to bring that up. Look, suing the system for violation of your civil rights is a great thing. Because even if you lose, some of them are going to make it through, and it's going to raise these issues. Pointing out illegal wars, pointing out illegal torture, pointing out illegal surveillance, pointing out all the criminal stuff this government's doing, like Holder shipping guns into Mexico, and the fact that he's been caught as a liar, that just keeps putting it out there where they can finally be brought to justice. You ever give in to them, and ever, oh, they'll never get in trouble. It's over. That's why it's a big deal that Ron Paul came out and said Eric Holder's a criminal, and the Justice Department is criminal, and did this to blame the Second Amendment. That's big news, because Ron Paul said it, and that's why we love Ron Paul. He's not a coward. So that interview is coming up. Let's jam in some more here. Otter in Mass, good to hear from you, sir. Welcome.
Greetings. You're online there.
Yes, sir.
Got staticky, sorry. So I hold in my hot little hands here a letter from the Social Security Administration, which came up earlier. And this is for an individual that's disabled entirely, completely for life. For 3 years, there hasn't been a COLA increase, and I heard a gentleman earlier speaking about it. I'm not a lawyer. I can't practice law, but I can read it. I'm looking at this, and I'm reading it, and I'm seeing that it says the amount due you beginning January 2012 is, in this particular case, $728.40. So this individual's been getting $704.40 a month for the last 3 years. That's what they're supposed to have been living on. Now, the amount being given to you, raised by law, provides for an increase in Social Security payments in January. And it goes on to say that the reason is that the Commonwealth, so I can only speak to what has been written and tailored for this state. The reason that you have received an increase is that the Commonwealth has kicked in $30.40. So in reality, SSI has rolled it back $6 per individual. And the Commonwealth has kicked in some money to make it look like it's gone up a little bit.
Well, I know this. They take your money for your whole life, and then as they devalue the currency, they cook that number. It should be a much bigger increase. And then now in Europe, they're actually cutting people's Social Security, including their private accounts, to pay the bankers who created the thousand-plus trillion. I mean, that's the big nut to crack. Everything else is chump change. We have plenty of money to pay people their Social Security. It's the same in Europe, but the media is making it all about Social Security, saying that's what's going to bankrupt things. And whether you're for it or not, my thing is it gets people dependent on government through your money they took from you and other people's. And so that's why it's so dangerous. They always steal it one way or the other. And they're stealing it through devaluation right now. I appreciate your call. We should do some articles on this. 3 years since the cost of living went up, and now they're really getting ready to devalue the currency. So it won't matter how much they increase it in a while. I mean, in Zimbabwe, they've got, you know, $10 trillion notes that are worth, you know, enough to buy a cup of coffee. All right, we are going to go to break. Ron Paul going to premiere this interview that I taped earlier today straight ahead. Call everybody you know. Tell them to tune in. Twitter this out. This is big. Wait to hear what he talks.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
And we are joined by Republican frontrunner, presidential candidate Ron Paul. Even mainstream media admits he's in second, third, and in some cases, first place. And of course, in national polls, he's the only person who can beat President Obama. And he joins us today. Congressman, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be with you again.
It's good to have you with us. There is so much happening. I've got a lot of questions, but what is most important, Congressman, right now on your radar?
Well, it's continuing to do what I've been doing. You know, a lot of people say, well, what's your strategy? What are you going to do differently? And you know me well enough that probably the last 30 years, especially the last 10 years since we've known each other, I do the same thing over and over again, but I try to improve not only the delivery, but the message always stays the same. But we get better organized. So we'll continue to do that. And the big thing now is these next 3 weeks. I mean, you know how much energy we put into Iowa and New Hampshire. Because, you know, it offers an opportunity. It's a smaller state, and you can meet a lot of people, and you can do direct mail. So we've done our very, very best. We think we're in a good position, but we're going to work right up until, you know, the caucuses occur on the 3rd, and then, of course, the primary in New Hampshire on the 10th. But it's unbelievable how much volunteer work we're getting, and there's so much work going on outside of the campaign, that's so fantastic. So I believe that could be our secret weapon, that nobody measures the amount of activity going on outside the campaign. But we're going to continue to do exactly what we're doing with a lot more energy.
And they continue to try to sell this mind game or this self-fulfilling prophecy that even though he wins all these straw polls and even though he's always a top-tier candidate, you still can't have him. But I think that hoax is really beginning to backfire on them.
Yeah, I don't know how long they can get away with. You know, if Newt wins Iowa, you know, he's a shoo-in for the whole nomination. If I win, it's a total fluke, and I'm just a troublemaker and a spoiler. But we still have to prove ourselves under the circumstances of the disadvantages with the mainstream media. But we know where we stand. We know what we have to overcome. And I think we're doing a very good job on this. And no matter how they spin it, there's a limit to how much they can spin it. You know, even when they give me 90 seconds, actually, we've been able to turn that around and turn it into a positive. When you see guys like John Stewart and others, you know, just mocking, you know, the unfairness of the system. So we have to keep plugging along, that's all.
They've tried to ignore you. Now that's failing. The attacks are beginning. Do you think that it's going to do the same thing again and boomerang back on them because the mainstream media and political system is so discredited?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, in a way, even though, you know, the kingmakers and the mainstream media and the establishment people are gunning, you know, the other candidates, have you noticed that they're a little less aggressive? They're more aggressive against each other than they are against me because I think they know the significance of the number of people, and they're not going out of their way to offend. They say, oh, there's just a couple percent. There's 7 or 8%. But they're being a lot more cautious because they know our percentages are much higher and we can play a significant role, and they're being a little more cautious at least.
if you were to, you know, go after Obama more, pretty much run against Obama, transcend the other Republican minions and point out, as you have, that they're basically just rhino Republican versions of that, and point out that you've pointed out the real problems and are the only candidate that has any shot at trying to turn the ship around.
Well, actually, I think that is good strategy, because I wish we had more polling, honest polling, with my name against Obama, because, you know, we appeal to a lot of independents and even some of the more sensible and honest liberals, you know, the progressives that are anti-war. So I think what you're suggesting is very good, and I would have to admit I don't do enough of that. And it's a mixed bag. Politically, I think that is very, very good, and he deserves it, and that's who ultimately you have to run against. But in the primary, I'm not running against him. And I also like to be as upfront as possible. You know, when it comes to analyzing our tragedies and the foreign policy and monetary policy and the economic foolhardiness of it, and, you know, they've been going on for a long time, and it's both parties. But I should at least be more bipartisan and condemn Obama just as much as I criticize some of the things Republicans have done over the years as well.
Look at Mitt Romney, his voting record, Obamacare. He is a Republican Obama. Vote in another Obama. Or look at Newt Gingrich. He's for carbon taxes, Obamacare-style stuff. He is another Obama. And so basically, A, it's a vote for Obama because either one of those guys is going to beat Obama. But B, it's a vote for Obama because they're just clones of him, just with a little bit different rhetoric. I think that is the secret weapon, Congressman.
Yeah. And I got a little bit out of the end, but probably not as sharp as I could have or what you might have done. But, you know, in the debate the other night, I said the two of them are totally on the defensive. They're defending their record. I mean, how can they lead our party if they're defending themselves for not being, you know, for having been like Obama all along? So that is the big issue. And I think probably, you know, Gingrich has been pretty aggressive in that light. So maybe that's one of the reasons he got bumped up a bit. So that's not a bad advice at all.
RonPaul2012.com. It is absolutely essential. Obviously, everybody go out and get ready to try to be delegates. Everybody hit the ground in Iowa. I know I have family who's actually gone to Iowa. So there is a massive grassroots operation. All the different ways people can get involved are at RonPaul2012.com. I want to go back to the campaign here in a moment, sir, but they've obviously tried to keep you with 89 seconds in the CBS debate and other places from actually talking about the real issues. And instead, they'll ask you, what do you think of Newt? What do you think of Mitt? So they can basically still give you time and not get caught censoring you, but they still censor you in another way. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, that's been ongoing, and I've lived with that for a long time. I have to be on guard for it, but and try to distract them from it. But that's ultimately their goal, is to make a subtle, if not blunt, assumption that, well, you can't win, and therefore we shouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to you. But the only way we can ultimately overcome that is success in Iowa, you know, as a beginning point. You know, if we do really well there, they're going to have a lot harder time doing that to us.
I saw the Republicans here in Austin are going to protest Eric Holder, the attorney general, today because he wants the UN to oversee our elections. And I agree, that's certainly out of control and treasonous. But this is the guy caught perjuring himself, and the memos CBS released last week show that they said they were going to blame the guns in Mexico on the Second Amendment. Is that not a form of false flag against our most basic of rights, sir? And what would you do if president to people like Eric Holder?
Well, he should be immediately fired, and then there should be an investigation and find out if charges should be made. And that's obviously over the top. And all these kind of sting operations and false flag, this is criminal. And I think they do it constantly. I think they were doing that when there was this so-called attempt to kill the Saudi or the Iranian ambassador. You know, that kind of stuff is just way too much. But no, they should be investigating. And you know, that's one thing I think the government House committee is doing a pretty good job at investigating that. But I don't know whether charges will be made, but he deserves to have charges, you know, up against him.
Well said, and you got it right the first time. The claim of the used car sales wanting to kill the Saudi ambassador, and even mainstream media had to admit that was totally phony and a pretext to attack Iran.
Yeah, that was the real excuse to blame it on him. And And we know that is, you know, I just wonder about that, whether that guy will ever get tried, because if he does, maybe the truth will come out. And sometimes they won't try these people because they don't want the truth to come out. So it's just another propaganda stunt as far as I'm concerned.
Now they want to go after Syria. It's now admitted the U.S., Israel, and others are staging giant military attacks inside Iran. What do you make of Congress not being consulted on that?
Well, unfortunately, that's been happening for a long time, and Congress is just totally negligent on this. And, you know, the other night when they were talking about this in the debates, you know, on what the president's responsibility is when they, you know, shoot down or are able to get one of our drones. And the argument was, should we go in and get it, or should we just go in and destroy it? And I tried to get attention on that. My suggestion would be, why don't we avoid it by not sending drones over a sovereign nation just looking for a problem to start another war? I mean, they never talked about, you know, the lack of wisdom of having been over there and losing a drone over a foreign nation, which we consider an enemy. I just think that is it's a reflection of a policy that has to be changed.
What's your view on the NDAA and the Ente Posse Comitatus and the declaration of the whole world as a battlefield?
Yeah, well, I think the significant difference is not so much in what they have done, but the announcement and the arrogance of it all that they actually put it into law. You know, our government's been involved with our CIA and involvement in overthrowing governments and this for a long, long time. And, of course, last spring, I guess it was in February, where the administration admitted that they could assassinate American citizens, and now they're putting it into law. So this to me, is an extremely wrong way to go. This is a giant step. This should be the biggest news going right now. It's literally legalizing martial law. And yet, you know, in our debates, how often does it come up? It didn't come up at all. You know, and then the arrogance, and this is the one thing Rand got stopped, the arrogance of them trying to push through on their voice vote that if you go through a trial and found innocent, the government wants the right to put you in prison for life anyway. And fortunately, that they wanted to do that in voice vote, and he finally got a vote on that, and that was canceled out. But that is arrogance of the administration and neglect of the Congress in using their authority and responsibility, as well as the people. That's why it's up to so many of us now to wake the people up, because they don't probably realize the significance of it. But this is big. This is big. You know, the monetary issue is big, all these things I've talked about. But this step, where they can literally arrest American people, American citizens, and put them away without a trial. And you heard Lindsey Graham say, well, if they ask for a lawyer, tell them no lawyer for you. I mean, that is arrogant and bold and dangerous. Let's hope and pray that we can get that kind of stuff reversed.
Congressman, we've only got a few minutes left with you here, and I wanted to continue looking at the presidential race. What would be the first three things that you would do, the first three goals, when you got into office, when you were sworn in January of 2013?
Well, there are three big goals, but you might not be able to do as much all by yourself the first few days. But you could change the foreign policy and send a message to the world that we are not looking for more wars. We're looking for a more peaceful solution to the problems, and that is to start bringing our troops home, which would send a message that money is going to be spent at home instead of overseas. Might send a message to the markets that things will be different. But then, other than that, then it would be working on the budget to cut the spending. You know, my proposal that if we're serious about this, we have to cut the budget. I want to cut it first year at $1 trillion. And the other thing that must be changed is curtailing the power of the Federal Reserve to monetize debt and get something passed where we can either or both, you know, restrain the Federal Reserve to act on its own, to print trillions and trillions of dollars and bailing out everybody around the world, as well as a thorough audit of the Federal Reserve, and then find out, find out exactly what they have been doing, and then aim for legalizing the competing currency. Some of those messages, if we change our foreign policy, bring our troops home, start balancing the budget, you don't have to wait for everything to be perfect. It's just the direction we're going. People might say, hey, you know, this is different. And maybe some optimism would come back, which we need a lot of.
Beautifully said. What can we do on the campaign trail briefly? And then finally, I know you've written a piece today that's on your congressional site. It's also on Infowars.com about forced drug research where they're trying to psychologically screen the kids. Internet kill switch admitted in the Washington Post. All of this is happening. But what can we do to ensure that you win in Iowa, Congressman, in closing?
Well, it's do what we're doing, and if they're not involved, anybody's not involved, want to go to Ron Paul 2012 and find out, because people can phone from home. They certainly can raise funds. People can are going out to Iowa. There's activity, but there's a lot of electronic activity going on, you know, with automatic phoning and different things that done. This is very, very important. So we're in the lap here right now, so it's very important that we get maximum effort made.
I was about to say, now is the time for the maximum effort, and certainly I'm glad you ran again. Look at the incredible effect you and others have had since your last run 4 years ago. You've got a real shot if people believe and take action. Congressman Ron Paul, thank you so much for spending time with us, and go with God.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Wow, there goes Congressman Ron Paul joining us today. What an amazing interview. I got to most of my questions, but I wanted to ask him, of course, the next time we have him on, I'm going to ask him, what's going to happen if he doesn't win? I mean, what's going to happen if the New World Order continues? The world government's now admitted. You can't be laughed at anymore about banker takeovers, with Time and Newsweek saying Bank of the World, you know, Goldman Sachs takes over Europe, austerity for all. Internet kill switches. The Washington Post last night, headline, Internet kill switch is here. The Hill newspaper, selective Internet kill switch. I mean, it's here. EAS alert takeover yesterday on major phone systems with government announcements. I mean, they're really getting us ready for it. Absolutely incredible. Here's the headline. MPAA head Chris Dodd on online censorship bill. China's the model. How many years did I write articles with the headline? This is the Weekly Standard. How many times did I write the headline in articles that it's China is the model? This is the Chinese model. There's the Weekly Standard. Here's another one. Google chairman says online piracy bill would criminalize the internet. That's The Hill. Here's overkill on internet piracy. Washington Post goes on to say it is an internet kill switch. Here's another one. Internet privacy bill, a bill to kill free speech, a free speech kill switch. That's The Hill as well. Wow, incredible. That was our interview with Congressman Ron Paul. You are insane. If you don't get behind Ron Paul, you are under mind control. If you don't believe he can win. I heard Jeff Ward yesterday, local top talk show host in his time slot on 590 that we're on as well. Good guy, former UT kicker, you know, NFL guy, smart guy, teaches at UT. And I heard him say, too bad Ron Paul can't win because I really like him. And callers called in and said, they say he can't win. He goes, yeah, the establishment doesn't want him. That's a mind trick. That's a mind game. And I hear national hosts saying it, other local hosts. I see it everywhere. This mantra of them saying you can't have freedom. That's like an enemy psyop to say you can't win. You have been defeated. We are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. Your resistance is futile, tyrants. All your high-tech crud and all your mind control and all your semantical manipulations fail the minute people are awake to your scam. Doesn't matter how fancy it is anymore. When you know it's an illusion, the illusion falls. It's time for people to break that trance. Time for people to come out of your trance and wake up. Get behind Ron Paul, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear the energy in his voice. Get behind liberty, because win, lose, or draw, we win, because resistance is victory.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning. Okay, I'll do a little bit of overdrive because I want to get people that are holding at least. I appreciate you calling. We just got a photo in of Santa Claus getting a TSA pat-down. That's going to go up at Infowars.com, premiering there, sent to us by a listener. That'll go up in the next 10 minutes. If you're watching us on screen, you can see it. It's on YouTube. It's got 128,000 views. You can actually put the headline in and hit search on it. It'll show you the real number, about 150,000 views. I have a video I aired last Friday night on Infowars Nightly News. John Corzine spills his guts to Alex Jones. And I did a little fake interview with myself as John Corzine. It's obviously satire. A, people say, Alex is trying to fool us. It's not really Corzine. No kidding. I sped his voice up like a chipmunk. Then they say, it's anti-Semitic. He has a black hat and a beard. John Corzine is Italian. His name's Italian. And banker, you know, Monopoly men wear a little hat and has a beard, plus Corzine does. So they try to invent stuff. Now, I see this more and more. They froze the view count, and that happens normally with caching, but it didn't happen with other big videos. It happened with our videos. But the proof is the videos in the most viewed area of news and politics have less views in the last 2 days than we do, and the listeners are noticing it. One commenter, Buck PWNZ, Buck Pond, says 123,000 now, and it's not the most viewed, yet a video from the 8th is in 5th place with less views. What a joke. Yeah. And there are videos up there that have had like 50,000 views in 2 days that are there. And then here's ours in 2 days with like double that. And of course, you can, again, enter the search term into general YouTube and actually get a closer number. And if it is a YouTube malfunction, which it may well be, why is it happening to me and not other folks? The point is that routinely, every day we've got videos that should be on the front page and they're not. And I know then that makes them, instead of getting 200,000, 300,000 views, they get a million or two. So I know why they don't like it. I remember one time Obama deception got a million views in one day on one channel, and you could see the algorithm was probably get about 2-4 million, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 million when it hits that zeitgeist. They just erased it for 2 weeks. And it was a record that we didn't do it. They had to restore it. So we try to make stuff for free, give it to you. The PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers see it first and finance our outreach to you, and they don't want you to see that. So John Corzine spills his guts to Alex Jones. It's up on our YouTube channel. Get it out to everybody. They don't like this video for whatever reason. You know, I told you this was coming years ago because I read Toyota and others talking about it, but here it is. Daily Mail, no more talking behind the wheel. Scientists develop system that can shut down your cell phone while you're driving. And, of course, it also tracks everything you're doing. Doubles the surveillance. Here's CNN today. NTSB recommends full ban on use of cell phones while driving. They're the folks that cover up most government terror attacks. Federal accident investigators Tuesday called for a nationwide ban on the use of cell phones for text messaging and devices while driving, which sounds reasonable, but that should be a local law and locally enforced. Let me tell you, you're 4 or 5 times more likely, they admit, with texting to kill people than drunk driving. It is dangerous. I mean, I see people all the time swerving, and I pull up and look because, you know, I don't need to see something say something. I know if somebody's out of control dangerous, I am going to drop a dime on them because I don't want them killing my family. And they're always on a phone, just like texting while they're driving 80 miles an hour. Dangerous. But again, we don't need the feds doing that. We have jurisdictions for a reason. Very, very serious situation. Again, here's Apple iTunes flaw allowed government spying for 3 years. It's in the international regulations. They have these back doors built in. We got 2 articles now up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. One headline deals, of course, with Ron Paul saying what we all know but needs to be said. Ron Paul, Fast and Furious, is a criminal false flag. Get it out to everybody. The audio and video now posted. And Ron Paul, defense bill establishes martial law in America. Okay, I went into overdrive to take some of your calls. I'm going to really work this week on having some hours that are open just to take calls because I always love talking to you and the points you raise. Let's try to jam in 3 of them right now. Kyle in Tennessee, then Justin and Chris. That's all we have time for. Kyle, thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. It's great to be on today. It's a privilege to be on your show. I thought Ron Paul was going to be on today so I could ask him some questions, but that's okay. There's a couple things I was wanting to talk about that could help Ron Paul do better in the debates. And one was that it just seems like I hear a lot of times from my friends that, you know, this false information that, oh, Ron Paul's anti-Semitic or he's anti-defense. That's all I hear a lot of times. And for me, the best thing Ron Paul could do was just in one of these debates say, hey, if Iran is a threat to our national security, that I'm going to get a declaration of war from the Congress, and I'm going to go blow him up and get it over with and stuff.
Exactly. The issue is he will not play politics like Rand. Rand is a patriot, has been blocking all this tyranny, but he'll at least play that patty cake in the system. Kind of backed off a little bit because he'll at least say things like that. Ron Paul won't even do that because he knows Iran wants to be our friend. He knows our government's overthrown him not once, not twice, but three times, and is blowing stuff up. And he just will not play politics. He will not do it. And in a way, that makes him even more admirable. And if folks want to say that we shouldn't go attack countries so we're anti-Semitic, let them say it. You know, people just use that, and I'm just sick of it. Again, and I appreciate your call. The globalists love to call people anti-Semitic because a lot of times it makes them mad because they weren't, and then they start bashing Israel because they don't want measured criticism. They want to make it all nasty. Okay, that plays into the whole trap. Again, I don't like a lot of things Israel does, but I don't like a lot of things China or Russia or the U.S. does or England does. I don't dislike people in England. And so I've criticized Israel when they do bad things, which they do, but I don't hate Jews. You see, that's the difference. And, I mean, it's the same thing across the board. And so that's why the white supremacists and others hate me, not just because they're federally controlled, but because they know I don't hate people, you know, for their race or religion. And I reasonably criticize. And the system doesn't like that. Chris in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, just real quick, I had a situation today that came up. My daughter went to, my daughter's 8 months pregnant, and she went to the OBGYN, and every time she's gone there,
they're telling her to take the flu shot, which on the insert says you're not supposed to do.
Every single time. And they tell her it's safe, it's safe. Well, today, I've...
Yeah, when she has a miscarriage, they'll again, the doctor's brainwashed and does what they're told. But it is a eugenics operation, and they always said until 3 years ago, never give a pregnant woman a shot. It causes an autoimmune response, it causes brain damage, causes genetic problems, or causes miscarriage, period.
And when my daughter asked her, okay, tell me what's in the flu shot, because I've trained her well.
They will lie and say there's not the Marisol, even though there is.
What she told her, she didn't tell her anything. She told her, she said, I get many emails every day telling me to make sure my pregnant mothers get vaccinated. That's what she told my daughter.
Yeah, it's a giant PR thing where they know we're waking up, the numbers show it, so they're trying to cram it down our throat. Hallmark, I never even covered it last week, has little cards about better vaccinate your little sweetie. They're coming out with hundreds of shots that they get vaccine liability protection on trying to push, and it's on purpose. You know how many girls they're going to kill in Mexico with this forced Mexican inoculation of the Mexican girls? There ought to be a revolution down there over this.
The thing that infuriates me is that she goes to her doctor, and on her doctor's form, they say patient refuses flu shot. She's branded as someone who is...
Total crud, sir. Exactly. I mean, look. She needs to bring literature in and educate them. You need to go in there with her.
Is there anything we can do? I mean, can we sue them for harassment? I mean, they told her today that from now on, every single time she comes in, she will be asked to get a flu shot.
No. It's all part of pressuring. Listen, in California, they just signed a law 3 months ago where they're going to shoot kids up without parental consent. I mean, the government knows we're waking up, so they're coming in with both feet on top of us trying to make us conform. Like we're a bucking horse. Get the Ron Paul interviews out to everybody. I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News. And we got reporters on the older thing here in Austin. Stay with us tonight.